And I know that I've probably preached upon this a few times, but I think that this day and time that we need to be comforted and need to be knowing that the Lord is our comforter and that He has not left us. He is still with us. And we look at the things that are going on out in the world, and we know that it's pure havoc. Really, I'm concerned about those things, but I don't let it worry me to the point that I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Because I'm kind of like my wife. She says when she gets time, she's going to have, people's always saying they're going to have a nervous breakdown, think they are. She said, well, when I get time, I'm going to have me one of them. So if we got our minds, I know that people are concerned, and a lot of people are just worried to death about what's happening in the world. But let me just say this morning, and you know this, that our God is still in control. And there is nothing going to happen or take God by surprise, that He is still on His throne and He's still taking care of His business, and man can not do anything unless God allows him to do it. We serve an all-powerful God. We serve a mighty God. And I think that we need to know, and I think we do know, but sometimes we neglect to reach out and take hold of some of the things, the power of God, which God has given us. We want to reach out and take hold of His grace, because His power is all-powerful. We have something within us that is all-powerful. We have holy power within us this morning. Christ within us, the Holy Spirit within us. So we have power. We have the blessings of God within us this morning to overcome all the things that would come against us, either by grace, and He says that His grace is sufficient. As Paul talked about and prayed about the thorns in his flesh, we all have thorns in his flesh. And he prayed three times. You remember he prayed three times that God would relieve him of this thing that was bothering him. He said the devil buffeted him. And probably, it don't say what was going on in Paul's life at that time, but most people think that he was going blind, you know, and the devil was really buffeting him like he buffets us. There's not a day that goes by that we don't get wounded, is it, by the fiery darts of the devil. There's ways that we can have power against the devil. He says, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. So we have God's power, but yet he may flee from us a little while, but yet he will come back. So we need to, like in the 6th chapter of the Ephesian letter, he says that our protection, and he gives us the different things in life that we need. And he says we're to put on the whole armor of God. I want to read to you this morning from the 28th verse of chapter 11, where the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us unto His arms, His spirituality. Now, this is not a call to the Adamic world, because the world has no thought or has no desire to come to the Lord. I'm talking about the evil or the wicked ones of the world. And those who are even of God sometimes seems to me like has trouble coming to the Lord. I'm not ashamed this morning to tell you that I love my Lord. I'm not ashamed to tell the whole Edenic world that I love God this morning. I don't have any trouble this morning coming to the Lord, but there has been times even since I've been born again of the Spirit of God that I've had trouble coming to the Lord. But this call here is not to the wicked world. It's to God's people. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me. Come unto me. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls." The Lord's saying, if you will put your trust and your being in my will and my being, that He'll give us rest. He'll comfort us. He says that He is the Comforter. Over in the book of Matthew, on back in about the 6th chapter, I believe, it's in John. He says the Comforter will come. He didn't say maybe or might. He said the Comforter will come. And we need to look this morning for the power of God to comfort us. For God's power within us will comfort us if we look to that. He says, "And I shall give you rest unto your souls, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light." My yoke is easy and my burdens are light. And we know this morning that these are perilous times. These are times of unrest. These are times of havoc. These are times of confusion in the world. These are times we need to come boldly to the throne of grace and beg God to help us through what we may have to go through. Because as I, especially you young people in the church, I want to commend you and tell you this morning that you need God in your life. And you may think that you're invincible, and I know I used to think that, when I was younger in my life, that, oh, there's no sickness. I wasn't sick very often, maybe a little cold every now and then. And it wasn't until I was up in years till when I got sick. And I found out right quick that I wasn't invincible. I found out real quick how much I needed the Lord in my life. And this was even after that I was born again of the Spirit of God. Now, before that, what I was doing before I was born again of the Spirit of God, I was doing things out in the world and didn't think of God, didn't know too much about the Lord. Even though as a young boy I went to church, it just didn't mean too much to me until the time the Lord changed my heart. The Lord has to do the changing. It is God that worketh both a will and to do, whereby we come unto Him crying, "Abba, Father." And I don't think that you can resist God. Oh, you may say, I don't know if I'm ready to accept the Lord or not, but I'll guarantee you one thing. It won't be very long until you'll be willing and you're able to know the living God in your life, to know of His love and His compassion for you. Because this is what I'm talking about this morning. The strength within you gives you the knowledge of the living God, gives you the Spirit of the Lord. Lord gives you the Spirit. He says, man is dead without the Spirit of God. How could you know anything about God, you may have a head knowledge of God, but I'm talking about really knowing the Lord and the power of His might. He talks about the power of His might, and I just want to go there very quickly. I don't want you to turn there, but over in the book of Ephesians, it talks about the power of His might, the power of God. And where I was telling you about, he says to put on the whole armor of God. This is the weapons of our warfare against all the world and against the evil things that would come against us. God supplies spiritual help to overcome these things. This is the power of God. The evil of the devil and the world. So he says over in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, he says, put on the whole armor of God. He said, no, go back to the 10th verse. He says, finally, my brethren, which he's talking to the children of God. I believe the Bible wasn't written to the Adamic world, but it was written to the children of God for them to be obedient in God's Word. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the only way that we can overcome the evils of this world. That's the only way that we can overcome the world. He says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I wish sometimes that I could just go someplace far, far away from all the evil things but the evil would probably be there too. Somebody said one time, said, you know, it'd be nice if you could just move off to some island where there was nobody at except you. And I thought, well, that wouldn't be very good, because I'd probably get lonely with nobody else on the island. You know, it reminds me of a story that Brother Jeff Harris told one time. He says that this man was marooned on an island by himself, and he says he was marooned there for many years, and after a while he got to thinking, you know, he just sat around and kind of waited on the ships to come and you know, where he could be taken home, but they didn't come. And he thought, well, I'll build me a little town on this island. He said he built him a nice little house, built a couple of little houses. He built him a little storefront, nothing in the store, because, well, he might have put some coconuts or something in there, I don't know. And he built a jail, and down at the very end of this little town, down at the very end of it, he had built two churches. Well, here finally, over many years, while he was rescued, you know, and the people on the ship come off the ship onto the island, you know, and they're looking at his little town, you know, and there was one of each thing except the churches. There was two churches there. There's two old Baptist churches. Now, Brother Jeff put this in there. He said, there's two old Baptist churches down there. And they asked him, said, well, why in the world did you build two churches? And he said, oh, well, he said, I couldn't get along with that guy attending that other church down there. So he said, I built me a church up here. So he was the only one on the island, so he couldn't get along with himself, could he? But anyway, we know that getting back to my sermon this morning, these are times of havoc, a time of confusion in our life, in people's lives. Time of havoc in the world. So we need to be drawn by God's strength that He has given us all down through the ages of time. There has never been a time that God has ever left His people. We may sometimes seem like He's 93 million miles away, but He's here. He's present with us always. God is omnipresent with us. He has never been too far away from us. He has never turned His back upon us. We may turn our back upon Him, but God is all-powerful and He gives us power. So all down through the ages of time, God has been proclaimed the eternal God. In Jeremiah, He proclaimed that the eternal God is my God, and underneath are His everlasting arms. If we're serving God like we should serve Him, we are happier than any time in our life. If we're serving the Lord with all of our might and all the power that God gives us, we're happy. I've never seen a miserable person who is serving God with all their heart. Now, I'm not saying that they don't have problems in their life, but they know that God's grace is going to see them through their problems and their tribulations in life. The Lord says that His people will have tribulations. There's no way that we can get around it. There's no way that we can get through life without being sick. Now, there are some people that go through life and it don't seem like they've had very many problems in life, but we really don't know when we look into the minds and the hearts of those people of the problems. Some people can keep it inside, you know. And we see many of God's people suffering with afflictions. Oh, we have to go through the valley of afflictions, dear children of God. There's no way that we can get around going through the valley of afflictions because God's people are going to have problems in their lives. But I'm telling you this morning, God has given us the power to even be happy in those times in our lives. Do you ever see someone, and I've noticed many, many times that people would be lying on their deathbeds and in much pain and suffering, but the one thought upon their mind and in their heart was their God, was the Lord. Many, many times I know I can remember my father as I visited him in the rest home, and I'll just use him for an example this morning. I believe he was a good man of God. I believe he was a great man of God. But I watched him as he suffered in the rest home, and he got down to probably about 60 pounds and nothing but skin and bone. And I would go in to visit with him, and he would hold my hand with his little skinny hand, nothing but a bone. And he said, "Well, let's have a word of prayer." That was his first thought. His first thought. And about 2 days before he died, he said, "Rog," he said, "the Lord has been good to me." He said, "All the suffering that I've been through," he said, "I praise my Lord and my God." He said, "But I want to tell you something." He said, "Last night, or night before last," he said, "I seen the angel standing before my bed." He said, "I'm going home to be with the Lord." He said, I've suffered and I've done what I thought was right with my boys and my children. I've worried and I've toiled many, many a night and been troubled over faith. But he says, "I have one comforter in life, and that's Jesus Christ, my Lord." He said, "He comforts me. He comforts me," and he says, and he was so happy that me and my brother, that the Lord had called us to the ministry. He says, "Of all the things in life that's been good in my life," and he says, "God has blessed me with all the goodness that He has given to me." But he says, "The most blessed thing is that I know my Lord and my Savior." And he was happy about a lot of things in life, but he was more happier with that than anything in life. You see, he had the power of God, even in death. God gave him dying grace even at that point in his life. Before he ever died, the Lord had given him power in his life. All down through the ages of time, the Lord had given him the holy power within him to be comforted in things, even in the bad times and the good times. We need the Lord, don't matter where we're at. We need the Lord in the good times, He's there. We need the Lord in desperate times, He's there. We may seem like that sometimes He's far, far away from Him, but He's never too far. He's never too far. He says, underneath are His everlasting arms. Aren't you glad this morning, children of God, that underneath are His everlasting arms? I'm not dependent upon the world for anything, any goodness. I'm not dependent upon anyone else for goodness. I'm dependent upon the Lord my God because I know that He is my comforter. Oh, I know that I have the church that I can depend on. But he says the words in that song that we sang, oh, where can I go but to the Lord? In the times of trials and tribulations, oh, where can I go but to the Lord? So we look to Him, and we look to Him for our power. We look to Him for all of our being. But I tell you, you can't even breathe the breath of life this morning without the Lord giving you the breath of life. The Christian life is the joy. We can know of our salvation. We can be visitors with the Lord. We can talk to Him. We can walk with Him hand in hand with Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. As we get back over to the 28th verse of chapter 11, he says, come unto me. Come unto me. The invitation here is not to have eternal salvation, but it's come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And we all are laborers and are heavy laden sometimes, aren't we? You know, there's a certain place, some of God's people, it seems like, that there are certain times that they are closer to God than other times in the inner sanctuary with the Lord. David proclaims, says, I saw Him in the inner sanctuary, and I visited with Him in the inner sanctuary. So there are times that God's people can come close to God, to feel the very essence of the Lord, to feel the very power of God within you. And you're lifted up, and you're lifted up above this old fleshly body in a sense. You're lifted up above the things of the world for a little while. And you're in the Spirit of the Lord. And you're visiting with Him. Isn't it good that when we can come into that inner sanctuary, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're looking for rest in any other place, you're looking in the wrong place. If you're looking for rest in the world, you're looking in the wrong place. If you're looking for rest any place, if you're looking for rest with me, you're looking in the wrong place. Oh, I can comfort you some. But there's no kind of rest like the Lord's rest, because it is the spiritual rest that we need in the times that whenever we're in trials and tribulations of our life, in the good times, in the bad times. We need the spiritual rest of the Lord. It's good that I can lay down at night and sleep sometimes, and then sometimes I don't. But it's better when I can rest in the finished work of my Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross for our sins. It's good that you can rest in knowing that God says that He is with us through all that we may go through. It's good to know that He loved us with an everlasting love. That's the type of rest that we can really rest in. I want to be able to comprehend, like the Apostle Paul says, that I want to, when I arise in the morning, to see the beauty of another day. I want to be able to rest in that of the Lord. And when I look and see the beauty of His hands, what He has made and what He has created, I can rest in that. And I can be assured of today that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I want to be happy in it. Sometimes, you know, we get up and we get out of bed and we go around, you know, and we say, "Oh, man, I hate to do this today and I've got to do that today." You ought to be thankful that God has given you the strength to be able to do that. You know, sometimes Brother Matt may say, "Oh, I wish I didn't have to go to work today." He's looking forward to retirement, he told me this morning. That's good. That gives him more time to spend with the Lord. But anyway, sometimes, you know, we want to complain about doing things or having things to do during the day. We should plan our day out where we can enjoy it, and as we go through doing whatever we do, we can do it with a prayer upon our hearts and in our minds. You know, I worked in the mill for many years, and I enjoyed working in the mill. I enjoyed, you know, just going to work and being able to go to work. Now, I didn't used to enjoy working too much. When I was out on the farm, I remember my dad used to tell me, he said, "Son," he says, "I want the south acre plowed today." And I thought, "Oh my goodness gracious, I got to plow a whole acre today," which wasn't a lot of land. But we had to do it with I had a little old garden tractor that you walk behind that you had to plow with. That's a lot of walking. Well, it is behind a mule too. It's no difference. But anyway, I used to dread that, you know. And I used to think, well, my dad used to say how much, you know, he enjoyed life and things in life. And I thought, well, how can you enjoy something like that, you know, when you have to work all your life? You have to work. But the Lord, you know, after I got a little older and I got to reading the Word of God, He said, "A man don't work, he shouldn't eat." So I'm glad I'm glad that I've labored and I've got something to eat, because I don't want to go hungry. But anyway, we need to look to the Lord. And this call is not to everyone. It's not to the world. It's not to the lost. It's or the ungodly. But it's to those who have been born again of the Spirit of God. Those who have life. This is what this call is to. Only God can call and fill our life with His presence. In the time of all the uncertainty and weariness in this world and the things that are going on, David proclaimed that the Lord is my refuge. Oh, who can I run to except the Lord? And who can I go to except the Lord? In all the times of our lives, we need to be present with the Lord. The Lord's present with us, but we don't always seek God when we need to, do we? And sometimes, I've found out, the Bible says we're to repent daily. I have to repent hourly. So sometimes I have to run to the Lord because I know what a sinner and wretch that I am. And I have to ask God's forgiveness. But I look to the Lord too for help in my life, because I don't want to make a decision on my own. I don't want to make a decision on my own. I think we need, especially important decisions, we need to look to the Lord to make decisions in our life. You know, it's been many times I was talking to someone this morning, can't remember who it was, about, Brother Gavin. And I said, you know, it's been some times that I thought the Lord was through with me here at Mount Zion. And I thought, that it was time to go on maybe to someplace else. The church would call me to come and pastor or something. But then the Lord would shut the door. And when the Lord shuts the door, you know you better not try to go around and get through some other way, because you might wind up like the guy did that was on the donkey, and you know, he was trying to get around the angels, and the angels are standing there ready to whack his head off. Because we can get in a lot of trouble if we don't listen and do God's will in our life. We can get in a lot of trouble. So we need to listen to the Lord and the power that He gives us. He says we're to be wise in the Lord. We're to have the wisdom of God in our life. God is all wise, and I've always wondered why in the world people wouldn't want to follow our all wise God instead of the dumb world. Why wouldn't we want to follow the Lord instead of the dumb world or the devil? Because the devil don't love us. The devil, all he's got in store for us is heartache and misery in our life. Come all ye labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to turn over to Psalms 91. David, trusting in the Lord, his confidence, he had power. He had the power of God. Psalms 21. And David knew about the inner sanctuary more than anybody. He knew about the Lord, and he came unto the Lord. He was heavy laden many times in his life. And that's why God talks to His people and says, "Come ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is the only place you're going to find peace and rest in your life and comfort. In Psalms 91, "Oh, we're cast down, but not destroyed," you know. The song that we sang, "Cast down, but not destroyed." He talks here, he says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High," in that secret place, what is it? It is the inner sanctuary, where we can come personally to our Lord, can't we? Our personal Savior, our personal Lord, and come to Him in the tranquil times of our life. There's been some times in my life that I've been very close to the Lord, in the sense that I've felt His very presence, and I know He's always there. But I like to be able to feel the essence of God. Sometimes when you get in your prayer closet, and you know you bow down to the Lord, and I believe when we pray, we need to spend time with the Lord in our prayer closet. That means that you put the world and the things of the world on the outside. Leave them out. Leave them out of your life and go in and sit down with the Lord. And then just talk with Him and be, you know, and have a personal relationship with the Lord. What a wonderful time that is when you can feel the very essence of God in your life. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." What peace it is to me to know this morning that God has control of all things, and God is watching over us, and God is taking care of us, and God is loving us. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler." And this is the devil. God delivers us from the snare of the fowler. If we're resisting the devil, he can't get to us. God has a hedge around us. He can't get to us until we kindly let down our guard, can he? He talks about Job having a hedge around us. I believe God's people has a hedge around them when they're doing God's will in their life. They're following the Lord. God puts a hedge around them. "Surely He shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. The Lord, the holy word of God, is of the Lord. It's our shield and our buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid in the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flingeth by day. He that dwelleth in the secret places of the Most High. Blessed. Blessings here are promised to those, I believe, who follow the Lord, who closely follow the Lord. How close are we to the Lord this morning? Do you want to be closer? I think we all do. How much do we love the Lord this morning? Do we love Him like we should? I doubt if we do. But I want to love Him more, and that's my prayer each day. Lord, I want to know You better. I want to love You more and more each day. I want to be strong in the Lord. Give me the power of Your might, Lord. Not my own power, not my own will, but Your will, Lord, in my life. Oh, we want to dwell in that inner sanctuary and the mercy seat. Yet all do not dwell close to God, do we? All of God's children do not dwell close to God. It seems like that's sometimes, you know, sometimes we enjoy occasional visit with the Lord, don't we? Occasionally, sometimes we feel real close to the Lord. But my thought is, like the Apostle Paul and his He said, I strive toward the mark of the high calling which God has called me to and for. And I want to strive to be closer with the Lord. So we strive to be closer to the Lord. Because I want to be rich in God's manna. I want to be rich in God's grace and obtain those things, the communion with God, to be able to commune with my Lord and my God, to be able to talk to Him in a personal way, to be able to come humbly to the Lord and bow down before Him, because that's the way that we need to come. Come all ye that labor and heavy laden. And if God has put that up on your heart and in your mind this morning, then you should come. And you should be at rest. He said, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. You know, I'd rather be yoked to the Lord than to be yoked to the world. I'd rather be yoked to the Lord. He said, you know, He warns us about being yoked. He said, be not unequally yoked with the world. Be not unequally yoked with a non-believer. I want to be yoked with my Lord and my God. Who else better to be yoked to than the Lord? You know, a yoke, as I think about it, the yoke goes, you know, and on the oxen. You see the old oxen in many places in the world, and like in India and different places, they still use a yoke on the oxen. And God, you know, in the Word of God, God says, that we're not to be yoked with non-believers. We're not to be yoked with the world. Not to be yoked with those that's causing havoc in our lives, the devil. And be yoked with the Lord. If you're yoked in that strength with the Lord, then your problems is going to be easy in life. I'm not saying you won't have problems, but your problems are made light. My yoke is easy. Lord, help me is going to help us in the time of need. If you're yielding to the Lord, obeying and trusting in Him, in the power of His might. Nothing too hard for God, is it? Nothing too hard for our Lord to do in our lives. Think about all the sorrows in this old weary world. And we have a place that we can go to, is the Lord. We have a place that we can, someone we can go to, and He never turns His back upon us. We have someone we can go to, and He listens. He hears our cry. As we read on over in the book of Psalms, let me try to find it here. Over in Psalms 34, David. David was a great prayer warrior, great songster of the Lord, singing to the Lord and praising God. And he had troubles in his life. If we remember, David, you know, he couldn't communicate with God at one time, you know, because he had sinned against God and he was, you know, he was away from the Lord. But he says over in Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord in the good times. I will bless Him in the bad times in my life. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Oh, when we're going through heartaches and trials and tribulations in our life, His praise should be continually in our mouths. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. That's talking to the church. Let us exalt His name together. If you've got a problem in your life this morning, give it to the Lord. He'll take care of it. God is not grown old and weary and forgetful. He's not sitting up in heaven scratching His head, trying to solve problems anymore, because He says that He is the problem solver. He is the problem solver, that He'll give us grace in our lives. He'll solve the problems. He'll give you the grace to go through them. And He may take that problem away from you. Who knows? That's in God's hands. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. David says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. He came into the close relationship with God. He came unto the Lord, begging unto the Lord to help him. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. Oh, it didn't say part of me. He delivered me out of all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. I think about that. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. That means that David came to the throne of grace begging unto the Lord. He came unto the inner sanctuary and was pleading with the Lord at a time in his life, and those many times in David's life that he needed to talk to the Lord personally. There's times we need to talk to the Lord personally. I can remember my mom, I used to hear her go to the bedroom and she would shut her door and I'd hear her praying out loud. And she was begging unto the Lord to help her raise her kids and to raise her family and to give us knowledge of the Lord and to give us the things, the blessings of the Lord. And He surely did. The Lord answered her prayers. He says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angels of the Lord encamped round about them that fear Him and deliver them. We got angels watching over us, children. I know some people don't believe in angels, but I believe what the Word of God says. I believe that there are angels. And I believe that they watch over us, and they're encamped round about us, watching over us. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man that reverence the Lord God Almighty. Because reverent and holy is His sweet name. I can't find any place in the Word of God where it says reverent and holy is man. That's why I don't think men should put reverent to the front of their name. But He says the Lord and only God is reverent and holy and without blame. He goes on to say in the 17th verse, He says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The second time He brings this to a conclusion. He brings them out of all their troubles. And then in the 19th verse, He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. So we're going to have afflictions and we're going to have problems. We're going to have troubles and trials and tribulations in our life. But God can deliver us. You know, one day, children of God, He'll deliver us from all our problems in life. Because we'll be in heaven in a mode of glory with Him where there is no troubles in life. Where there is no problems. Where there is no sadness. Where there is no sorrow. That's like a person asked me about God healing. He says that He'll heal all of His people. Well, He will. He may not do it here, but when we get to heaven, we'll be healed. We'll be whole. We'll be healed of all of our afflictions, our sickness, and all of our sorrows and sadness. We won't even know about those things. Over in the 63rd chapter, in closing this morning, 63rd chapter of Psalms, it talks, just to tell you about David and the, I wanted to read to you about David in the seeing the power of God in His inner sanctuary. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Yes, sometimes we go through a dry and thirsty land and we seek the Lord. When do God's people really cry out to the Lord? It seems like in a time of trouble, isn't it? In a time of despair, in a time of troubles in our life, we cry out to the Lord. And God says that He's not left us. He's there to hear our cries. So we be strong in the Lord to see the power, He says in the second verse, to see the power and Thy glory, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, in the close place, in the hidden place, in the secret place of the Most High, in the inner sanctuary. He says, I have visited with the Lord. And I have seen Him by the power that He has given within me to be able to know Him and to be able to see Him. What more blessings would we ever want than to be able to visit with the Lord and to visit with Him in the inner sanctuary, to know that He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and that there is no other God. He says in the third verse, because Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than this natural life. My lips shall praise Thee. You know, we may not be able to physically hold our hands up one day. We may not be able to physically walk into the house of God. But we can speak to God. And we can praise Him. We may not be able to speak physically. But we can still praise God. How can we praise Him? With our heart. God looks upon the heart. And we can praise Him through the Holy Spirit. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. In other words, he's thanking God for His rich blessings. I will lift up my head in Thy name, not in anybody else's name, because there is no other name above the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name that we can mention that is higher than Him. He is my Lord and my King. David is saying, and we can say that too. Oh, you know, I remember Job, and I believe it's Job chapter 23. Oh, he says that I might know where, that I might find Him. Job knew where to find the Lord in the time of all his trials and tribulations in life. And when God had removed the hedge from around about Job, and Job was still strong in the Lord, he didn't remove his grace, he just told the devil that he would remove the hedge. And the devil came in, and the world came in, and all those evil men, they destroyed all that Job had. Job lost all of his wealth. And you know, that's where the devil sometimes tries to destroy is what we have worked so hard and tried to accomplish in life. And sometimes the devil will try to destroy it and come along. There's millions and millions of people in this world today who have lost all that they once had. They thought they had it all. But I'm telling you this morning, you don't have anything unless you have the Lord. And they have jumped off of buildings and committed suicide over the losing of all that they had in their wealth. Listen, God giveth and God taketh away. The Lord giveth. Job said that. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. What a great man of God. What strength that God had given him. And he was using this in the time of trials and tribulations in his life. What he was going through. He says, oh, where I might find him, that I might come even to his seed, that I would put my strength in his will. That I put myself in his will. You know, Job said, oh, one time he spoke out of turn. That's about the only time I can find where Job spoke out of turn, because God says, this man is righteous, most righteous. And when God says that, you can take that to the bank. When he says that Job was righteous, he was righteous. A great man of God. But one time he wanted to question God. And he started complaining, you know, a little bit about what was going on in his life. And you know, his three miserable friends had convinced Job that he had sinned against God, but he hadn't. He hadn't sinned against God. He was a sinner, but he hadn't done anything. God was using Job as an example. He's a great example for us, how strong we can be in the Lord. But he questioned God, and he says, well, he started out questioning God. He says, God answered him in a whirlwind. He says, Job, have I not laid the foundation of the world, laid the hills, and put the cattle on the hills? And God went through all these things that he had done, and Job just had to put his hand over his mouth because he knew that he was complaining when he shouldn't be complaining. And he praised God. You know, can we do that in our lives today with all that may come upon us? Can we praise God? Can we give God all the praise, honor, and glory? Can we draw near to God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, wretch, and I deserve more than what I deserve all. I deserve hell. But by Your goodness and Your grace, and Your great power, You have made me to know that You love me. I'm thankful I know that this morning. I hope this morning I said something that might be a benefit to you. May God richly bless and keep you, is my prayer.